and welcome to another episode of Profit. I'm your host, Cindy Broad. Today I'm joined by George Robinson, and George is the CEO and president of RavenQuest Biomed. RavenQuest trades under the symbol RQB on the CSE. Thanks so much for joining me today in our downtown offices, George. It's really a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So we'd like to start off Profit usually with a little bit of rapid fire questioning just to get to know the CEOs a little bit better and a little more personally. Are you up for that this afternoon?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Okay, well, let's give it a shot. We'll see what we can find out about you, George. Okay, what is the last thing that you Googled?
I was actually Googling stuff on the coronavirus it's been spreading throughout the world.
I think that's probably on a lot of people's Google list these days. It's very important for sure. Name a book that's had a big influence on you.
Lots of books, but I do read a lot of sort of period books. Okay. And the last one I read was called The Journeyer, and it's by a guy named Gary Jennings. Talks about the life of Marco Polo as he left Italy and moved all the way out to the Mongolian Empire, and I was really trying to figure out how business and trade happened by following sort of a fictional view of how that book was written. It's absolutely awesome. The Journeyer by Gary Jennings.
Oh, excellent. Well, thank you for that tip. I'll have to look that one up on Amazon, see if I can get one of those. Which person, living or dead, would you love to grab a drink with?
If I could, I'd spend more time with my mom and dad.
Oh, that's nice.
Right? They're both gone. Yeah, and when they go early in your life, you realize that as you get older, there's more questions you really wanted to ask them.
That's true.
And they've been truly my mentors in my life. And that's who I'd really like to hang out with and spend some time with. But other than that, I think I have a lot of great mentors and coach. But if I could go out and sort of hang out with one particular person that sort of makes a big impact in my life, I think it's some motivational people that are out there.
Okay.
But I'm going to just suggest maybe just one that I'd really like to touch base with and chat with. I'm trying just to put it in perspective of why I'm choosing this person. I would probably want to speak with a political leader, and I'd like to spend some more time understanding what Justin Trudeau wants to do and why he's doing it the way he's doing it, because he's been influential in kind of moving the cannabis space where it is.
For sure.
But I'd like to know what his views are and what we're going to do with this national policy and how he kind of thinks about how it's going to affect the population going forward.
Okay, interesting. That's a good one. What is the strangest gift you've ever received?
Wow. I guess I've never been given a tie. So that's never ever happened. But I would say probably the strangest gift I've ever got was a Christmas decoration mid-year. And it was from someone who said, we're halfway through the year, so we're halfway to Christmas, so they give me a Christmas decoration.
Well, that's perfect, because normally you get these things on Christmas Day, and you've got to pack them back up and then get them out again for the next year, so at least you were prepared.
Yeah, but I had to go dig up my Christmas box again out of the attic and go put it in there. But no, I think that was the funniest one I ever
got. That's awesome. Okay, West Coast or East Coast?
Totally West Coast. I'm a flatlander. I grew up in Saskatchewan, but I was really drawn to the West Coast just because of my love of the mountains and getting out and really enjoying my exercise time.
Yes.
Getting fresh air and getting my terpenes from the scent and the smell of the forest.
Perfect. And Vancouver is just the perfect place to be.
Been here since 1989. Slipped out for a few years down to the U.S., but it's really been a home to me now.
Fantastic. That's great. What is your favorite phone app?
Wow. Okay. I guess my near term has been Amazon Prime, because I've been watching some of their work that they're doing sort of again on period pieces and stuff that's been happening, and they really have a great selection. So that's been an app there, because I travel and I fly a lot.
Right.
So I try to find ways to fill my mind up with things that can sort of give me context to the past, but how we can drive that into the future.
Perfect.
So that's been one of I use a lot, but that would be the more unique one that I've been really taking time with to really understand sort of history, what I can apply that to today.
Interesting. Okay, and just one last quick one, iPhone or Android?
Android. I have always been. It's been one of my passions. My kids don't like me for saying that. They're all people, but for me, I'm still an Android kind of guy.
Okay, good stuff. Thanks so much, George, for playing our rapid fire questioning. And now let's move on. We'll talk about RavenQuest. RavenQuest is a cannabis company, and it has sort of numerous facets to it, really. A bit of cannabis production, management services and consulting. You do specialized research and development. Maybe you can give investors sort of a bit of a background on RavenQuest, and maybe just start talking a little bit about your production, and then we can sort of move through to your disruptive new technologies that you're bringing on board.
Absolutely. Thank you. So we are a cannabis company. Like many, we have two licensed producing facilities, one in Markham, Ontario, and one in Edmonton. Those two facilities are built out. We have a capacity of about 10,000 kilos. I must say that the construction is done. We're still waiting for Health Canada to give us a little bit of licensing amendment approval on five rooms in our Edmonton facility.
Okay.
So that's about 10,000 to 11,000 kilos of production. But realistically, what we're really trying to do in 2020 is kind of reframe that to say that we're a technologies company that happens to grow cannabis. And
okay.
Why are we saying that? I think that today there is a lot of unusual things happening in the cannabis space as the cannabis space normalizes in Canada. So whether there's overproduction or not overproduction, I think what the real issues are is we're just trying to figure out is what is a good product. What is the right amount of product that cannabis legal consumers want to have? And how do we balance that against how much product is being produced in
right.
the black market?
Yep.
So for us, we have to find a different way of driving revenue to the company. And that's why we wanted to start our first forward in 2020 in our consulting business and then really working into disruptive technology that allows us to grab revenues without having to rely on adult use and medical cannabis for all of our revenues in 2020.
Right. Okay. Well, that sounds like a very well planned out strategy moving forward, especially in this market. So if you are looking at basically you had mentioned at one point that you are only growing what you're going to be able to sell. You're not overproducing as far as your growing goes. Now moving into this disruptive technology, can you sort of tell us what your thoughts are in this space and what you guys are coming up with to sort of keep ahead and address what's going to be required in the cannabis market for 2020?
Yeah, it's a good question because I think if you don't change your business model and you're going to remain like up to maybe 300 licensed producers and be a farmer that's turning that into a product and maybe even to a final product in cannabis 2.0,
yeah.
You're competing against a lot of people that are still only fighting for 25%, maybe 27% of the cannabis being consumed in Canada. That's a very, very small market share that everyone's trying to fight for. If you're going to be disruptive, you got to take a look at what has actually changed the world here in the last, say, 10 plus years, and take a look at how do you get someone who wants to consume something connected to people who want to sell stuff to them.
Right.
So this is our DigiGrow application where we're going to take people who want to grow cannabis. We're not going to give them starting material or seeds. That's not the business of this application. Once they have their starting material, we want to put them together with ideas, better growing techniques by saying this: if you want to grow cannabis, let's connect you to people who supply you with the things that you use every day when you grow cannabis, like nutrients, like lights, like substrate, or that would be like soils or Rockwell, sanitary devices, pest management. Let's connect all those peoples that RavenQuest as a company and our technology side of the business has worked with many vendors across the country. Let's give the users who are consuming this an option to be able to connect the two together at better pricing than if you went down to your local horticultural store and
right.
bought it. This way we can scrape off a little bit of the revenue, we can drop it into the company without any heavy sort of cost structures that are in place.
Okay.
No different, like you said, from Uber or maybe for the Skip the Dishes, as I already mentioned,
yeah.
Or Airbnb, where you're just connecting the two groups together.
Perfect comparison.
Yeah, so yeah. The beauty of this is we get to tap into the traditional or black market by selling them products and getting them better pricing than they do every single day by just going to a store and buying essentially at wholesale or maybe even retail rates. We can get them better pricing by connecting them and our vendors having a larger audience to sell to. So we think this is extremely disruptive and something that's going to be done in the space anyhow. Right now, as far as we know, we're the first ones to move forward on this, and we're super, super excited about it.
Oh, it sounds amazing. So when you're talking about what who you're servicing. Black market makes up how much, basically, of the cannabis industry currently?
Well, you take a look at what Stats Canada's telling us. These are not my numbers. They still represent about 75% of all product grown, all products sold in Canada is going through the traditional or black market. That's untouched, and we can actually go and touch into that, where you can't as a licensed producer. You're just not in that market or in that space. So this app allows us to touch everyone who's in the legal market, everyone who's in the traditional market, and allow them a portal, a gateway, an application to buy all the things that you'd normally use to grow cannabis. Even if you're a micro producer or if you're a black market producer growing, you know, 1,000 plants or 10,000 plants or even 50 plants, a place to buy all of your product that you use and all your consumables at a much better price than you'd get from sort of traditional outlets that are available.
Okay, and there's no legislation or anything that you guys have to deal with in using this platform?
Yeah, this is the beauty of it. So what we're trying to do now is give the same platform as a disruptor was. You think of like Uber is making here in Vancouver and Lyft are making a big impact on the taxi industry. Taxi industry is completely regulated.
Right.
Uber has less of it. Okay. Right. So we're actually going into this part of the cannabis space that's not regulated. So we can go out and offer this transactional type business without sort of oversight, because we're not doing starting material. We're not dealing with the cannabis product. It's everything else but that. So it really gives us a nice way to get into revenue streams without having to always deal on Health Canada or the provinces or anything else like excise taxes and all that other stuff. That's completely removed from the picture. So it's a very quick way that you can ramp up revenue streams. And I think people are looking for this type of activity in 2020 from the investment side. You got to be different. If you're going to be like every single everyone else, unfortunately, I think micro caps, small caps are just going to die.
Right. So on that note, who would be your competition in this space currently?
Right now, as far as we know, nobody.
Wow.
And we have done a lot of research in this space. And as I look to move into this space, we spent a bunch of time taking a look at this. And you get time to sort of reflect when you see the industry not going in the direction that everyone thought it was going to go.
Right.
If you can't stop and take a moment and reflect and say, what are we going to be for 2020? And I took that time, I took that reflection, and I said, this is something that we must do. So today, no one else competes in the space.
That's excellent. Well, it sounds like your management team is very on the ball and you guys are constantly looking for new opportunities, which is fantastic. Cannabis obviously is not going away, so it's very important to be able to pivot or see what the next sort of wave of opportunities are in an industry that really is not shrinking. It will only be growing moving forward. So it sounds like you're really well positioned to take advantage of that.
Yeah, I'm going to give praise in a couple areas. An extremely strong management team and a new board that really gets this.
Excellent.
Right? So some people have said that maybe they're not the oldest board, but what they are is they're veterans within the industry. Remember, the industry is not that old.
That's right.
But they're veterans in the industry. They know how to pivot. They know how to ask me the hard question to say, what are we going to do different? And then they're willing to kind of move forward in these areas, which are, again, maybe actually even not in alignment with what everyone else is doing in the industry, but they're willing to go ahead and do this. And I really want to take time to thank the board and also my management team to sort of be in the same position to say, if we don't pivot, we don't move.
Right.
We die.
Right. Yeah. Forward movement always.
Correct.
So yeah, that's excellent. Can you describe the actual transaction that takes place on the platform? How does that work?
Yeah, so you can do it a couple of different ways. You can actually put in your whole profile and you can identify who you are, but we also allow them to go in anonymously. So no one's going to see that information on the application. What that allows them to do is to go in, select a cultivar, like a plant material that they want to start with. At that particular point, we can start giving them data off our own cultivation processes and other things that we have been able to pick up in the industry. We can start guiding them through what they want to do. Are you going to grow in your house? Are you going to grow outside in a greenhouse?
Okay.
Where are you going to grow? As you go through those selections, we start narrowing down where you can get and what the best starting materials might be. What the best nutrients, the best soil conditions, or maybe you want to grow in a substrate like called Rockwell. We can start giving you guidelines for where you live and sort of narrow down your choices. That's going to give you the opportunity to be more successful. We're not growing it for you,
right?
But we're going to help you be more successful in those choices. So as you go through through those selections, and then you can say, you're presented with, okay, if you don't have some of these things, here are some vendors that could supply. So maybe I want to go from a high pressure sodium light to an LED light that I may have, or I want to buy a carbon filter. We're going to present to you the vendors that are close to you or may have better pricing or maybe have some specials that are going on that you can then go buy that material. When you buy it, we'll be the e-commerce engine that transacts it, that takes the revenue scrape, but the product is then shipped right from the vendor to the consumer, and we don't ever touch any of those materials whatsoever. So the real exciting part, as the vendors start to look at this industry, the picks and shovels of the gold industry, they really get an opportunity to get in early and start putting their products in front of people that are going to buy, that are going to use these things. And they can create new revenue streams and without all those other costs of having maybe stick it on a shelf, maybe consign that product off to maybe some of these horticultural shops. This is a direct access to the consumer, which again, is the disruptive technology that's happening in all these other vertical industries. And we just want to be the first ones moving forward.
Excellent. So you can, benefit would be is that you can probably provide these services or these pieces of the puzzle at a lower cost, often I'd imagine, to the consumer.
Yeah. So what happens is without taking away all that out, it's essentially given direct access. So the vendors can offer better pricing because they don't have to have any middle persons in the way to try and move it. So imagine if you're a light producer making a LED light, you don't have to go put it into any other store or any place. You can sell it directly to a user, a consumer that's going to use that material without anyone getting away.
And you start targeted platform.
Yes. And now what you do, you start taking all those layers of cost out, and all of a sudden, all that drops down to the bottom. And at the end of the day, we can offer it at a better price. That's the relationship the vendor can have directly with the consumer of that, those usable or consumable materials.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like a win-win for everybody then involved.
I think so. If you take a look at the successful disruptors, they're doing a great job.
That's
I mean, Airbnb's growing. Yep. We have seen Uber and Lyft doing well here in Vancouver, and Skip the Dishes has not failed, I don't think, anywhere. So I think we can use that business model as a huge success for the cannabis space.
Great. Now, you made a reference to the picks and shovels of the gold industry. Can you just explain to investors what you mean by
that? Yeah. You know, sort of, if you take a look at the early days of the Yukon, everyone had big chunks of gold they just found sitting in the creek beds up in the Yukon. And then that news spread out there. That's like the first 13 or 14 licensed producers in Canada, right? Yeah. The same analogy.
Yeah.
But then as more people started entering the space, people would go up to the Yukon. They weren't finding as much gold. Maybe just similar to the revenue streams that's coming from the later people who are introduced into the cannabis space. But everyone who made money, still made money in between those transactions, was those vendors that were selling picks and shovels tents and all that. So that's what we mean by the picks and shovels. Those people still made money. And I think that's the transition phase that we want to look at to say, hey, listen, the cannabis space is here. It's 2 years in. It's exciting. People want to be a part of it. Micro cultivators don't want to have big procurement teams. They want to take a look at places where they can be put in front of vendors at the lowest cost.
Right.
Whether it be legal or traditional black market people, we do have an avenue to join those together at the best price. And at the end of the day, people are looking for a good price on consumables.
Excellent. So as far as launch of this platform or sort of what the milestones are moving forward to actually bring this to fruition, where are you sitting right now?
So we're actually going to go out with some news today about that. This is
exciting.
Being Tuesday. And we've got all the pictures of the apps and that stuff. So we're just going through the fine tuning. We're testing that out. We probably have another month or two to get all the e-commerce stuff. So I would say that we'd really like to be in play if possible. This is something we just purchased in December. So if we can get everything set up properly, we'd like to be out in March when people start consuming.
Yes.
If possible. We're not sure if that's happened, but that's our goal. That's our target.
Yep.
Because that's the growing season for everyone else to grow outside, right?
Yes.
So, and we do know that other provinces may take a bit of time, like Saskatchewan, Manitoba, where it's a little cooler, but we know that we should be prepared for that. If not, it'll be just a few months after.
And this is going to launch in Canada or?
Canada first.
Okay.
And then after that, we'll start taking it out. The nice thing about disruptor technology, once you get a base and you have it working, you got the technology proved out, this can go anywhere.
Right.
We can go into any part of Europe, US, any of the big markets. We know, and we have to know, that people are buying these products worldwide, cannabis worldwide. They're growing it worldwide. Maybe we have our heads in the sand in some countries, but we're going to help them pull the head out of the sand and
Perfect.
Say, okay, we're going to put the buyer to the consumer together.
Excellent. Well, this is very exciting technology for sure. And I love the angle that you guys are looking at and how you've positioned yourself. It sounds very strategic and sounds like you're really moving this forward. So I'm excited to see this roll out.
Yeah, I think, you know, being, sort of the realist also in the same, but this is a big step in the industry, right? And a big change in the industry. But I think when people take a moment to consider what we're up to, they're really going to see the value of what we're doing. It may be disruptor, it may be new, but if you start taking a look at the analogies and how the thing moves forward, I think the investment community is really going to see some upside in this.
For sure.
And right now is the time to be a part of that.
Yeah, excellent. Do you want to talk a little bit about, you guys are financing, what are you looking like in that area?
Yeah, on back a couple of weeks ago, we announced a $1 million raise. It looks like it's all consumed, right? It's nice to know that when I get a chance to talk to people about this new directional change and business model change for us, that people get it.
Yes.
And even though there's a lot of concern in the industry overall, people are starting to understand that if you don't pivot, you don't move, you're not going to go anywhere. So in this case, we're very happy. It looks like we'll close everything all up here very shortly. And those early people who are getting in get the advantage, which is the nice part about of getting in at this price point and be a part of a great story going forward with RavenQuest.
For sure. Okay, great. Well, thanks, George, so much for sharing these exciting developments that are coming up in the very near future. I'll definitely have you on my watch list myself personally as well. Is there anything else that you'd like investors to know or understand about RavenQuest just before we wrap it up?
If I can, I'll put on my consulting hat,
yes,
if you don't
please.
Mind, right? And I do a lot of that in conversations right across Canada. I think 2019 was sort of the change in realization that market caps needed to be sort of addressed. And I think there's more work there. I still think there's some goodwill and intangible assets that need to be looked out in the balance sheet. We've already done that, corrected it on our side in 2018. So I think 2020 is going to be about differentiating the business, not the same story that's going on right now. I think there's still more market cap compression that's going to come into place here. I don't think we're over that
yet.
And we're starting to see that capital raises and funding is becoming more and more difficult. So I think what you're going to see is sort of a separation of those people who pivot and move, those people who do continue to own some market share, and I think everyone else, unfortunately, is not going to be there.
Right.
But that's just the business as you come into it, right?
Yeah.
You can just see yesterday it was announced that 4 times the amount of hemp needed in the U.S. for CBD-based consumed products was grown. So that whole market collapsed from $40 a pound to $10,000.
Yeah.
I think that's still the story for 2020. If you're going to be a pure farmer and a producer of products and you have no other story in your system, I just think there's a bunch of price compressions that's still coming in there that I need to still be in that business, but I need to pivot and focus forward. And I think that's 2020. Find those companies that are doing something different, that you can understand yourself as an investor. It makes sense to you as maybe either part of being part of the sharing culture or other parts of finding ways to get products at better pricing. Look at that and find those companies that can do that. And if you can find that, I think you got a great investment.
So, George, RavenQuest also has a new ESG program. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's kind of new to people because although we've had it in our company since day one, but it needs to be represented, I think. I think today lots of investors are taking a look at, first and foremost, Goldman Sachs announced you must have a diverse board now if they're going to take an IPO position.
Yep.
We did that. With our new board position, we have a very diverse group, including Cassidy McCord on our board. We have already taken that position that we have to have diversity. We have to have different thoughts and different thinking on our board. But also from that sort of corporate responsibility, but on the sustainability side, the one thing that we've always committed to throughout our whole organization is that we're never going to leave a huge imprint. So if all of our products that we produce, if we're going to sell cannabis, is done on compostable material.
Oh, wow.
This is very important because we always hear of single-use problems and the plastic business building up in our places that we put our waste. I think that's extremely important. But I think more importantly, people are asking the questions, what are these corporations doing today on the environmental side?
Mm-hmm.
From our orbital gardening strategy, we use 70% less electricity. We use 90% less nutrients, which are very important key figures in that. And we use 70% less water. These are important things because what we want to make sure is that our environmental impact, our impact on climate change, is the absolute lowest by maintaining a very high quality product, but also produced at an extremely low cost. We've said it before, we'll say it again. We will do all of that, 70% less electricity, 65% less energy, 70% less water, 90% less nutrients. But we're going to do that at 57 cents a gram into the vault.
Those are significant numbers.
Yeah, right near the real numbers on outdoor grow.
Yeah.
So what we want to do as a company, anyone who wants to invest, we want to talk about ESG because I think it's the story also for 2020, is what are you doing to make sure you've got diversity, you've got corporate responsibility in place, and that you've addressed the climate issues. If we don't address the climate issues, we're either going to have fires in Australia or fires in Canada.
Right.
And neither are a good part of the story. So if we're going to be good corporate citizens, you have to have an environmental policy. And we've always designed our business around that to make sure we have the least amount of imprint on Mother Earth. And we give the opportunity to be, you know, good corporate citizens, make profit, but make sure we haven't done it at the expense of Earth. And I think a lot of companies are going to have to address that in 2020.
Excellent. Well, RavenQuest really seems to have a very thorough, well-fleshed-out strategy moving into 2020. It's really good to see. It's always a pleasure to have you and have a chat with you, George. You always bring new information, disruptive technologies. Like I said, I'm very excited to see what is in the near future for RavenQuest. It really looks like you're going to be a company that will thrive and flourish in 2020, and I'm happy to hear that. So, excellent. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for giving me the time to chat with you.
Okay, excellent. Today I was joined by George Robinson, and he is the CEO and president of RavenQuest Biomed. RavenQuest trades under the symbol RQB on the CSE.
Don't forget to like our videos and follow us at Stockhouse on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. You'll get updates on all your favorite public companies in North America and every sector of the capital markets. For more in-depth coverage, industry news, and to connect with our investor community on message boards, you can visit our website at stockhouse.com. Also be sure to visit our new and improved Stockhouse deal room on site for unique and exclusive private placement opportunities available only on stockhouse.com.